Okay, Alexander, let's go to the Daily Mail, and they have an update on Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And this is what the Daily Mail says, the Daily Mail UK. Jeffrey Epstein was secretly bankrolled by Ghislaine Maxwell's disgraced newspaper baron father, Robert. Sworn testimony claims 4 bullet points underneath this title, Alexander. And the Daily Mail has been doing an exceptional job of covering the Epstein and the Maxwell saga. And on a side note, here are the 4 bullet points that they have underneath the title. The source of Jeffrey Epstein's massive fortune, valued at roughly $636 million USD after his jail cell suicide, okay, last fall, has long been shrouded in mystery. Epstein ran his own wealth management fund, but its assets have never been made public. Now an insider has revealed that Epstein received a helping hand from disgraced British newspaper baron Robert Maxwell, his madam Ghislaine's dad. The source said famed modeling scout and Epstein associate Jean-Luc Brunel exposed Robert Maxwell's ties to Epstein nearly 20 years ago. What do you make of this article from the Daily Mail, Alexander?
Well, I it bears out much of what we've been saying on the Duran, and I think it's actually almost certainly true. I mean, Robert Maxwell, let's remember who he was. He was a huge figure in British politics and British media for decades. He was this extraordinarily rich tycoon. He set up Pergamon Press, which is for a while the world's most important scientific publisher. He was an immensely rich man. He was also a secret agent and with a very, very complex and intricate history. He's known to have worked for Israeli intelligence very closely. He also worked for British intelligence. And bizarrely, he also worked for Russian intelligence, for Soviet intelligence. He had links to all of these different countries and their various intelligence agencies. Much about his life is still mysterious. And there is also a mystery about the circumstances of his death. He was, at the very end of his life, he was in some kind of financial difficulties. Again, it's not really clear why, but he plundered to the tune of $500 million the pension funds of his newspaper, his main newspaper, the Mirror. And shortly after, he was found drowned in the Bay of Biscay, having supposedly fallen off his yacht, coincidentally called by the way, the Lady Ghislaine after his daughter, Ghislaine Maxwell. So he's a very strange, very remarkable, very complicated, very extraordinary man. I remember him very well, by the way. He was a larger-than-life personality, in some ways a very engaging one, but also, as I said, a man of mystery, and also, it must be said, too, a deeply corrupt man, because ultimately, stealing from pension funds is a profoundly corrupt activity. So it's not surprising to me that he found front men and that Jeffrey Epstein looks as if he was one. But there is something else here, which is that, of course, it explains the connection between Ghislaine and Epstein, because clearly Ghislaine and the Maxwells, her father, had some kind of connection to Jeffrey Epstein. And that brings Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein together. But this is another very important point. I mean, I've often wondered which of the two, Ghislaine or Epstein, was really the dominant one in this very strange partnership. If Epstein made his money acting as a front man for Robert Maxwell, then it seems to me plausible that Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Robert Maxwell's daughter, was the dominant one, and that she was, to a great extent, controlling or directing or the senior partner, in, if you like, in the Maxwell-Epstein project. Now, that, of course, is an inference. I can't prove it. I mean, we'll no doubt find out much more over the course of the criminal case. But these latest revelations seem to me to give great substance to it.
It also creates a connection between the intel agencies and Epstein as well. Yeah. I mean, you can make connect the dots and say from Robert Maxwell to Ghislaine Maxwell. So Maxwell was involved in the intel agencies, I imagine, when he passed away, this mysterious death that he had. The intel agencies could have easily plucked out Ghislaine and said, now you're working with us, whichever intel agencies, whether it's Mossad or Soviets, the Russians, the Americans, the MI6, whatever, all of them, who knows, all of them, they could have plucked out Ghislaine and they said, now you're working with us as your father did. Now it's your turn. And of course, Ghislaine could have then connected with Epstein, and there you have the connection to the intel agencies, of which Acosta actually kind of mentioned in one of his statements, where he says, I'm paraphrasing, I can't go after him because he's part of the intel society. He says something, I forgot the direct quote. Well, maybe you remember it.
I don't remember the exact quote, but I remember it very well. What he basically said was that it was above his pay grade, and that he had connections with the intelligence world, and that because of that, he was off limits. Epstein was basically off limits. And I mean, that's not, that is a public quote from Acosta himself. So that was how he explained his failure to go after Epstein far more vigorously when Epstein was actually admitting to being a person who had abused underage girls. So, you know, it's there. It's a public fact. That statement was made. I've never known quite what to make of it myself, but you're absolutely right. Robert Maxwell was, you know, into intelligence completely. I mean, he was a total, you know, he was a very much a creature of the world of intelligence. I mean, he was working for multiple intelligence agencies all at the same time, and apparently very successfully. Czech intelligence also, I forgot to mention that. He was also apparently involved with the Czechs. He was actually originally born in what was Czechoslovakia. So he's got this huge intelligence background. Anybody who knows anything about intelligence agencies knows that they're often family-run operations. In other words, it gets passed from, parent to child, and, you know, that it's inherited because those are the people who are seen as reliable and who already have some kind of admission and understanding of that intelligence world. So it might have been, you know, this is a bit of speculation now, but it may have been that Ghislaine used Epstein both to get to know important people in the United States and to get leverage over them. I mean, it's not impossible. It's, in fact, entirely plausible. I don't know for a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, you could also make the argument, or you could make the inference, that Maxwell and then Ghislaine were maybe types of free agents in a sense, in that, you know, when Maxwell, during his day, maybe the leverage, the blackmailing was a little more conservative and a little more traditional. But as the years passed, things got more, you know, risque and more dirty, as with all things. As time passes, things get, you know, more heavy, so to speak, whether you're talking about, you know, like compromat or, I don't know, say alcohol to drugs and the way things are today. So maybe, you know, Ghislaine was in the business and she was part of the industry, but she was working with Epstein in order to sell the intel that they were collecting, which was, you know, real serious, disgusting stuff, to the highest bidder.
Well, first of all, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think Robert Maxwell, I mean, undoubtedly had particular connections with some intelligence agencies, closer ones than others. But he was essentially, you know, a free agent. He was working for lots of people at different times. And he was basically, you know, hiring himself out to whoever he felt was, you know, there for him. By the way, I mean, the thing to say about Robert Maxwell is that obviously money and power and a love of intrigue played a big part in it, but he was a man with convictions. I mean, you know, he cared about Israel, for example. Of that, there's no question. I mean, he played a very big role in the 1948 war in securing arms supplies to Israel from, you know, from Czechoslovakia, as it then was, to defeat the Arab states. So there was with Robert Maxwell always a core of convictions, which I don't really get the sense that there is with Ghislaine. And I never heard, I mean, I'm sure Robert Maxwell was a pretty ruthless character. I mean, he was pretty brutal and a notorious bully, but I never heard of him being involved in anything as frankly appalling and disgusting as the Epstein abuse scandal of, you know, abuse of underage minors. I mean, I never heard of anything like that with Robert Maxwell, and I don't believe it ever happened. So if Ghislaine continued the family firm, then all I can say is, I mean, she seems to have lost whatever, you know, bearings, ideological bearings, if you like, or convictions or principles that her father had. But more to the point, she certainly went far beyond anything that he was ever, would ever have countenanced. I mean, he would have been, I think, profoundly shocked that she got himself involved with activities like this. That wasn't his style at all.
Yeah, that's usually the case, though. You know, the children of the parents are always involved in these types of business, are always taken a step further. You can like reference, like, I don't know, say like the Godfather films.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you had, you know, the...
Well, Michael,
Vito Corleone, who was dead set against any type of selling of drugs on the street or anything like that. And then as the children were taking over the business, yeah, they wanted to get into that racket.
Well, Michael is a much more sinister figure than Don Vito.
Exactly.
You get the sense it's going to get even worse, yeah, after Michael.
Exactly. That's always the case.
I agree. And I think that is true. And by the way, I mean, you know, having seen oligarchies, family firms in action in Greece and all sorts of other places, I can confirm that is true. I mean, there is over time in many such firms, not all of them, obviously, but in many of them, there is a corrosion of moral principles and ethics and things. So it would not surprise me at all that if Ghislaine was involved in all these things, she lost her bearings, her ethical bearings, or forgot them, or perhaps never had them to start with. I mean, you know, and went, as I said, far further than her father would ever have done. I don't want to, you know, make Robert Maxwell appear a better person than he was. I actually knew people who worked for him. I mean, you know, actually, when I say worked for him, who knew him. And, you know, he was an awful bully, for one thing. I mean, he was overwhelming personality, and he was just, you know, something of an ogre, actually. But I mean, there were limits to what he would do. I once remember reading in a book, I think it was by Dostoevsky, that, you know, that there are some people who just don't have a moral center, and Jeffrey Epstein definitely was a person without a moral center. Ghislaine, it looks like, was the same. Robert Maxwell, whatever else he was, he did have some kind of a moral center, you know, breaks which would tell him to stop when he would reach a certain point.
Yeah. All right. Interesting article from the Daily Mail. Once again, they've been covering the Epstein story really well. Mm. Really good reporting from them.
Absolutely.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that red subscribe button underneath the video. Like, share, and please drop us a comment down below. We enjoy reading the comments. And also, please, if you can, donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps out this small channel that we have going on here, but we are growing, and we are trying to deliver as much news as possible to you. And we have new merch with Alexander. I see he's wearing a new Durant shirt of Australia, and he's got mugs. I can hear those mugs clamoring. Absolutely. And clinging on his on his desk.
Absolutely. Here's my mug, my magic mug with the flag of Australia, a wonderful country, which is very close to the British people, that British people are very, very fond of Australia, because, you know, and you know, it's a country that is seen as a sort of kindred country to Britain. We're part of the Commonwealth. We fought wars together. We have we obviously share the same language. We have the same system of law. And at the same time, there is a perception in Britain that Australia stands for a kind of democratic culture, which we can certainly learn from. And I would also add one quick thing about Australia, which is that the High Court of Australia is the court that British courts look to for legal precedents when they can't find one of their own. It's the first court they go to. So that gives you an idea of how highly regarded Australia is here in Britain. And I'm very proud to have a mug with the Australian flag, a Duran Magic mug, the best mugs in the world with the Australian flag. And now I am equally proud to be the proud owner and wearer of a wonderful 100% cotton Duran shirt, also with the Australian flag. So you will come to our shop. If you come to our shop, you will find lots of our wonderful magic mugs and lots of our amazing shirts with lots of different flags of many countries. We're going to produce more and more of them with more and more flags of more and more countries. We're also, Alex is also busy now getting flags of American states. We now have a mug, I believe, with the flag of the great state of Texas. So if you want to come to our shop and you want to have one of our magic mugs, which are, I would repeat again, the best mugs in the world, as I know very well, well, and you want the flag of your own country there, you are almost certain to find it before very long. And you can do the same with our shirts. And we have the best shirts, T-shirts, polo shirts, embroidered shirts, and shirts with the flags of many countries. And we also have hats. We have baseball hats, caps, and truckers' hats, and embroidered hats, also with the flags of many countries. And we have hoodies too, and amazing ebooks, all in our shop. So if you come to our shop, you support this channel, which is struggling and fighting to get out the news to you. And at the same time, you become the owner of all these great things. So come to our shop, support the Duran, and Alex will remind you how to do it.
You'll find the link to the Duran Shop underneath this video, thedurantshop.com. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.